I don't even have a spoon this time.
Oh, yes. Q's in the Pod, the podcast where we have not given Daniel a spoon this time. Tonight on Q's in the Pod, we are discussing religion, specifically Daniel's religious upbringing, though we're going to interject frequently with our own religious upbringing. We'll see if we get an hour out of this. So, Daniel, I hear that you were Jesus briefly.
Oh, yeah, that's... I guess we did kind of talk about that. Right. I always like to say that I was brought up in a cult, although it's one of those, like, Christian cults, so nobody really thinks it's a cult, but, yeah, born-again Christians, you know what I'm talking about. What? Non-denominational? In the house. That's where you get, like... That's where they can, like, super cherry-pick whatever they want. You believe that you can be saved only by accepting Jesus into your heart, and once you've done that, you're set. Nothing can undo that, which is one of the like core points that puts it at odds with other Christian sects, because it's very much on the whole like, well, but this is a conversation we had often, is like, well, what if I become a mass murderer or I rape 10 people or something? And it's like, well, you know, it's possible to commit a sin unto death where God will, like, kill you, but he still loves you and you'll be forgiven ultimately because you've accepted him into your heart. So it's kind of very much in the, like, the Scientology, you know, billion-year contract thing where you're stuck forever, and it's very useful for them when, you know, you leave, because then they're constantly of the opinion of, like, well, it's too late. We're going to see you in heaven anyways.
So even now, even that you've become Daniel,
yes,
you are still saved. You are still in the good graces of God.
Yes, it's true. I've strayed from the path, but I can technically come back whenever I want.
That's way nicer than the Mormons.
Oh, yes, yes. But you know, it's lots of fun stuff. Like, I remember, you know, if you believe any of the stuff here, like, you have a moral obligation to try to convince all of your friends, because you'll be told things like, well, but you don't want your friend Frank to go to hell, do you? And you don't if you think hell is an actual place. So then you trick your poor friend Frank into spending a Tuesday night when he thought he was going to come over to play PlayStation and,
aww,
you know, whatever the fuck.
That would suck.
Yes.
Yeah.
But our specific group, this was based in Tucson, Arizona. It's fine. The pastor's since passed away and it's mostly fragmented. But, yeah, so, you know, my mother was single, her best friend's father was the pastor of this group, and, you know, of course, as the thing goes, was the one that got my mother into drugs when she was briefly into drugs and alcoholism and all that, and then also got her out of it when she had her own, you know, like, thing. But, yeah, so that's how we got into it. I was, of course, way too young to have any sort of, you know, memories even of that. But yeah, like, you know, it's these things, these non-denominational born-again groups are, they're literally just whatever the pastor thinks is right. Mm. So like our specific flavor was like, we believed in demons and possession, and that's where crazy people come from and sin and all of that and sickness. We believed, well, obviously, you know, and Jesus Christ coming back and the resurrection and the doomsday. So we're definitely one of those groups that like every time Israel would do something awful in the Middle East, we'd be so happy. Because one of the core things that has to happen for Jesus to come back is that Israel has to retake its original borders. Which,
I've heard a lot of cults that are like
that. You have no idea how much time we spent like going over what those would be from scripture, trying to figure them out. And our track specifically like had this outline on it, because that's what, you know, our pastor Bill spent a lot of his time doing. He's an interesting fellow, but so he was a welder, and he basically owned this fairly large house, and that was where everybody would meet. So like the backyard was just full of all these, like, you know, wrought iron things that he had welded. Oh. And his wife was a very nice person. Most of the people there obviously were generally nice. Very nice people, like genuinely kind of nice. It's just that they also believe that witches were real, and that, you know, you should pray really hard when something bad happens. like the time I suffered what was it? As a kid, I had serious hernias. So like on I got it on one side, and they fixed it with surgery. And then I have vague memories of being at, I think it was my birthday party. I have no idea. Like, I can't measure time in the past very well. I just know how tall I was at the time. But yeah, so like, I know I was at a birthday party and I got the searing, you know, the horrible pain in your gut. It feels very much like really bad gas, except it doesn't go away and it's located in one very specific spot because it's actually your muscle, like, you know, being unmoored from where it's supposed to be. And, you know, both these were kind of in the groin area. But yeah, I remember that they had a praying session for me, which, you know, I can look back on and kind of understand why they would have done that instead of immediately taking me to the hospital. Because, you know, we were also kind of poor and the healthcare in America is really difficult if you're poor. But yeah, so I have no idea what's true or not, but I was told that the praying fixed it. but again, I also, you know, had my head filled with so many weird things that, like, even today I'll find myself regurgitating facts about, you know, things relating to the dinosaurs or weird obscure carbon dating things, and then realize, oh wait, no, that's the bullshit Kit Hovind was spouting that my pastor was regurgitating. And it's just because I was a kid, and that's what they told me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did that last?
Which thing? The hernia thing?
How long were you
in all of it? Basically, I finally stopped going when I was about 17 or 18.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, because it was one of those things. I basically lived at home till I was almost 20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once I had a car and was, you know, helping pay the bills with a job, I at that point was like, yeah, no, I'm not going anymore. Mm-hmm. but see, we did to be courteous to people who might want to go to regular church. We met on Saturday night and Tuesday night because I believe regular church regular church services tend to be Sunday and Wednesday mm-hmm. night. I think usually. Huh. So that way you could, you know, if you hadn't gotten enough Jesus in your life, you could go to the next
one. A little bit
more. Yeah, so Sunday nights and Saturday nights sucked ass.
Wow.
But,
I didn't know there was a Wednesday night.
Apparently. Yeah, maybe Thursday. I don't know. But, so the structure of these things would always be like, and this is all superfluous to the actual story we were getting to. All right, so the structure of these things, you'd go and there'd be singing for an hour. That would be the first part. And that's kind of like, you know, that's the part that gets everybody kind of like, you know, on the wavelength of it. And of course, you know, participation mystique and all of that. And oh man. So, okay. So actually there is an entertaining story there. So every now and then, you know, there'd be this thing where they would be called getting like caught up in the spirit, or which, you know, would usually end up in us singing for, you know, the whole night instead of actually having a meeting. Well, I mean, yeah, if you actually are, you know, affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever been that affected by participation mystique. Like, when I was younger, I would pretend, and I do sometimes wonder how much of that is just people pretending, but it was never, like, it's one of those things where I'd be watching everybody else having this experience and being like, I don't understand. I don't feel anything.
I relate to that.
Yeah. And you get really creative about, like, ways to sleep and chairs because holy shit, is it boring. But yeah, so there'd be an hour of singing.
Oh, okay, an hour of singing.
An hour of singing, and then usually the actual study itself would be, like, you know, 1 to 2 hours, depending on how long Bill wanted to talk about things. And I'm kind of lucky in this case because our specific sect believed in line upon line, precept upon precept. Like, that's a phrase that would be used very periodically. And it's the idea is that, you know, you start at the front of the Bible and you can supposedly justify anything in it by referring back to it from different points. So if you don't understand something over here, you just need to read this other thing over here.
So when the Bible contradicts itself, which it does often, that's intentional?
You can find, yes, you just have to, you know, you just have to cross-reference it the right way.
Did your group ever touch on the Apocrypha and all the books that were politically taken?
No. Okay, we didn't, because like of course anything outside of the Bible itself, very specifically the King James Bible.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
It had to be the King James Bible. Anything outside of that was evil. Like, about the closest... Well, this will get funnier. So that was that. We would use concordances, which are these, you know, sort of encyclopedia cross-reference books that do that. You can buy them at any Bible store. So we would use those, but mostly it really just meant that we would essentially read through the entire Bible, start to finish, you know, in several year cycles. Again, depending on like what weird trend Bill had picked up from other pastors across the nation, which is an insight I only got much later in life when I realized how these things work. like I had no idea that most stuff he was talking about when he would talk about evolution would be stuff that Kent Hovind had written about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had no idea that that was the connection, because one of the other things that you do in these groups, if you're the pastor, is you... Every story you tell is your story. Every discovery that you make is your discovery.
So this was just fun. In some guy's backyard?
House.
Okay.
Which was constantly under renovation. And, like, it was pretty big, and, I mean, I'm assuming that's where most of the money that he got went to.
Did he get money from you guys?
That was another part of it. Is like the I don't remember if it's at the beginning or the end, but there would, you know, the collection thing would go out, and of course we preached about tithing, which there's some obscure thing. I'm a bad atheist because I don't know my Bible very well.
A certain percentage,
10%. 10% of your earnings goes to Jesus.
Yep.
So Jesus can buy a nice car.
There is a specific breakdown too, like, not just like that. It's also like, this much should be paid on like housing, this much should be going to the poor.
No, if you're a heathen, we just did straight up
10%. A flat tax.
That's right.
Not a percent, just say.
Before you get married, Jesus does get to sleep with your wife.
It's true.
Right of the King of Kings.
Yes, clearly. Clearly. It's fine. He doesn't actually know where the vagina is. He thinks it's the ear, so, you know.
So Jesus just pokes you in the ear a little bit.
And
so,
well, actually, he doesn't even do that himself. He jacks off into a lily, and then he gives the lily to an angel.
What? Is this a thing I should know?
That's like the legend built up about how Mary was impregnated.
With a lily?
Well, okay, so yes, an angel uses a lily as a vessel to pour God's spirit into what's her face's ear, and that's how
her
she gets Jesus. Yes.
Wow. I literally never heard that before.
Really?
But I guess Mary's having some trouble hearing too.
Oh right. So yes, one of the funny things. So we had very strict, you know, source books that we'd use. But we also believed in understanding the enemy. So you would have the Bible, and then, you know, us kids weren't allowed to read any of this stuff. But yeah, like, it was, you know, that's how I got introduced to Barbara Walker and Manly Palmer Hall and a couple other esoteric, like, you know, authors. Because, you know, the draw of occultism was very strong, because it, you know, especially if you read Palmer's work, because it's all about understanding the symbolic significance of, you know, symbolism and mythology and all these things. And it is an actual language, but that's a totally different issue. So the idea is that, you know, if you can learn to read the enemy's language, then you can see it. So it just made it very easy for them to see conspiracies everywhere. Like, I guarantee you, if it was a remote conspiracy, we believed in it. Like, not aliens, not reptiloids. It was always, you know, demons and devils. But
where did you fall on the Illuminati? That had to be real to you, right?
Well, actually, see, our big one was like the Protocols of Zion was one that we went on about
What's that?
Well, it was basically anti-Jewish trolling.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's one of those like six Jew bankers rule the world type of thing, but mostly
it's not that far off from that.
Yeah. So that was a big one. I mean, clearly, you know, I wasn't vaccinated until very late in life. Like, luckily, I know I've missed several of them because it's religion and I didn't have to. And as a kid, of course, I wasn't going to fight it you know. But yeah, like, basically until the school system said I had to, like, I almost got out of important ones like the polio one. I almost missed that.
Wow.
But yeah, so we believed that vaccines were bad. Some of the people in our group definitely believed that, you know, it wouldn't be aliens that would be putting tracking devices in you, but the government.
The government does that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
is that
I mean,
why my arm always hurts?
I do think it's fair that we let the listeners know that Daniel is a demon. He's wearing tentacles right now.
It's true. My new friend, I just got him. He's from the Dark Pits. His name is Aesiel. He represents the Black Sun of the Chaldeans, and you know, the Midnight Sun of the Eleusinians, and he's very comfortable.
We'll post him in the show notes.
I like poking him in the eyes.
I know his eyes are kind of.
Oh, they're so squishy.
I know they're kind of satisfying. Yes, but
So why did these people decide you were Jesus?
Oh, okay. So that was in that's not as big of a thing as you might think. It was just
it's not so big that you were Jesus.
I mean,
I've been worshipped too.
It was probably less Jesus and more like a prophet, because clearly, you know, nobody could prove they were Jesus. It would be, you know, we'd immediately stone them if they could. I had a dream at one point. I don't remember all of the particulars, but I know that it involved like me being up in front of a group of people. I do know I was very young at the time. This will, you know, the rest of it will go there. But right, so I had this dream. In it, I was talking to a large group of people dressed in white, and they were all dressed in white. And then at some point, they turned angry and like tore me to pieces. And you know, my mother had me go recount the thing to our pastor, and of course it was like a big deal for a month, because that's how these little groups are. Like, everybody's constantly having revelations and movements, and you're always sharing them, and you know, it's an easy way to get points. Again, though, I was kind of too young to
understand.
Because I remember, like, immediately after that, I was like, you know, I was like, oh, but I had another dream too, where like, you know, I turned into a robot killer whale.
And you got to keep your painting. Cool plastic sword.
Yes, well, in my dreams. Yes, I in a previous edition of this, which may or may not get posted, I told the story about how I lost my plastic ninja sword. Because I don't know, I can never tell if it was my mother or somebody else in the church group that decided it was against Jesus.
Because it was ninja. Yeah.
I did, one birthday, I'd just gotten into He-Man. I got everything, like literally everything that was made at that time, which was a big deal because, again, kind of a poor kid at the time. Huge thing. So at Chuck E. Cheese, have my birthday, get all this He-Man stuff. It's awesome. And then, like, the next week, the church group decides that He-Man is evil, because it's, like anything that's a representation of Jesus, this is kind of where the symbolism thing comes in, is also evil, because it's taking you away from Jesus. So He-Man, the savior of the universe, clearly an evil Jesus clone, Satan. And so, like, I had these things for about a week. But... Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I had all these things for a week, and then had to get rid of them like almost immediately, because my mother's church group
decided
they were.
Did they at least like let you sell them?
I'm pretty sure we
donated them.
I'm pretty sure we donated them. Or actually, I mean, she might have thrown them away. I don't actually remember
that. That's how you make atheists.
Yes. Well, I more credit that to actually reading the Bible, because like I clearly remember having this moment of we're reading something about, you know, the Israelites before they've settled into Israel, or before they've settled their lands after Jesus gives Joseph the vision on the mount or whatever, and is like these are the borders you should take. And then, you know, it's the part detailing him raping and slaughtering his way through those lands. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like reading this passage and kind of looking around and being like, wait, hold on. God just told his chosen people to murder all of those people and take all of their virgin girls and take them as wives or sell them.
Wow.
Nobody else has an issue with this? and you know, it's like there are so many, but yeah, those would be the kinds of things that would happen. So I just kind of started getting really angry.
Yeah.
But it is why I'm glad that we were actually like one of the groups that studied the Bible, as opposed to just, you know, letting the pastor ramble about shit they probably hadn't read about. Yeah. So that's the big thing. But yeah. So, you know, that's the sort of prophet story. Yeah. And then I don't know. Once you have that sort of thing, like, you always kind of get a little bit of favorite treatment, but it's very, you know, very intangible. Like, we never got toys or anything, but
They just, you know, gave you an extra cookie for the occasion.
I mean, if I'd been more devious as a kid, I totally could have spun it into, you know, something. But,
yeah.
You know, I didn't really, I mostly lived in my head, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. As a good prophet should.
Indeed. Indeed.
Away from the sins of the world.
Yeah. So flash forward to, you know, I stopped going. I get into reading, you know, Manly Palmer Hall's book. Manly P. Hall, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, an encyclopedic outline of et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's has like a paragraph long title. It's an amazing book. Pick up a copy if you can. It's all about the symbolic language of the mystery traditions. You know, a lot of the mystery cults, the Eleusinians, the Egyptians. Kind of goes through all of them. Fun fact, it has a section in it in the back talking about... it details this kind of story about the birth of our nation and how this mysterious figure, you know, addresses the first Congress of Founding Fathers while they're trying to figure out the Declaration of Independence or whatever. And Ronald Reagan read that and as a result had all kinds of crazy like occult influences going on in his head because he read that and was very heavily inspired by it. Which is just kind of an amusing little anecdote.
Yeah, I do recall that Reagan had a White House astrologer.
Yes. And it's it's Manly Hall's fault. And it's funny because I don't think Mr. Hall would have liked Reagan very much, but you know, whatever.
So good.
But yeah, so that was that and Barbara Walker's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets, A Women's Guide to et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, yeah. So both of those were two books that I stole from my mother when I moved up here because she never looked at them and I always read them in secret. And I was like, well, fuck it. I've watched The NeverEnding Story 6 times. I know how this works. Yes. Hi, Mom. It was me. I took them. You didn't miss them.
Not Satan. Satan didn't take him. Daniel did.
It's true.
Amber, tell us about your cult influences.
I had no cult influences.
What was your religious upbringing like?
It was more non-existent and or negative towards religion to some extent.
But your father...
My father at one point wanted to be a priest, which I'm not... he also had some occult things that he was interested in, because my rune set and tarot book are from him. Like, I found my rune set in my closet that used to be his. But he... So he wanted to be a priest, and he decided not to be basically because... His parents are very Roman Catholic. So I'm going to say he was going to be a Roman Catholic priest. I don't really know about that. But he...
If you're Catholic, there's no other kind.
Like that he'd have to, like, disagree or not follow some things the Pope said, I think.
Yeah.
Like that, even though the church is anti, like, birth control, you still have to, like... support people or something. I don't really know exactly what was going on.
No.
But anyways, I was never brought to church. My mom was always very agnostic. She doesn't really believe in organized religion, but kind of is okay with the idea of it, I guess. But her family was also fairly agnostic. And I was... Apparently, when my parents got married... They had to promise that their children would be raised Roman Catholic.
Like, was that in the agreement?
I guess, because they got married at a church and everything. Like, I guess that's part of it. That's a thing they can make you agree to in your vows.
Yeah, actually...
Or you can't get married at that church. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, actually, the Catholics are another one of those ones where, like, you kind of can't get out unless they let you go. You'll stay on their list of registered Catholics forever.
But yeah, so they got married, and then when I was born, she asked if we should be bringing me to church or something, and he was basically like, nah. So I was never brought to church, except for, like, sometimes, like, we'd go for special things, like... Mm-hmm. If there was, like, a choir or funerals and stuff like that, we'd go.
Christmas?
No. We weren't even the Christmas Easter Catholics. We were none. We had, like, no... But I kind of wanted some sort of religious upbringing and ended up making up my own religions.
As you do.
Like, I had one for a short period of time because I decided I knew absolutely everything about unicorns. partially because I could answer any question about unicorns because I could make it up on the spot what the answer is. Because
the unicorn was not going to be like, no, that's not true.
I know, right?
That's silly. We don't come from marshmallows. We come from the moon.
Now rub my horn.
Oh, God. And then I decided to be Egyptian, to follow that religion a little bit, because that's what I was learning in school. But that didn't work out very well, because I didn't know very much.
Yeah, that's okay. Almost nobody knew very much about it, which is why occultism
now
is so
it's a thing,
up.
Though. Like, yeah, now the there are free creationist religions for Egyptians, which is pretty cool.
Oh, in, I think, Greenland have opened the first Viking church in, forever.
I didn't know about that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Or was it Norway? I don't know. Maybe. Same deal.
Somewhere where people
are really
interested
in. I'd be really interested in recreationist, rites. Just, seeing them.
Yeah. But it is kind of hard because, a lot of those religions, Egyptians included, were very secretive about their rites, which is kind of where we got all the mythology of the mystery traditions, is that they were mysteries, and only the inner circle was allowed to know them, so.
Yeah, they had, temples that, no one was allowed in.
Right, right. And pharaohs who never got to interact with their people until they died, and
that's creepy.
Yeah. So I'm always a little skeptical about recreationists.
Yeah.
The Rosicrucians are bullshit. You heard me.
Probably.
Crowley's trolling you.
Yes, he is. That motherfucker.
Yeah, so I had, I did have a copy of the Children's Bible, which is illustrated. I really
how
remember
does that work?
The Children's Bible.
Yes.
It has, short stories from the Bible. The only one that I really remember was the one about the two women who were arguing about whose baby it was, and the guy was like, yes, let's cut it in half. And one of them's like, no, don't do that, she can have it. And they're like, she must be the mother.
Yep,
so
that's Solomon.
Yeah.
That's the entire, that's what I remember of the Children's Bible.
They
I'm sure the ark
have,
and stuff was in it.
Lot and his daughters, they probably cut that part
Wait.
I don't know, I was pretty traumatized by the cutting the baby in half.
I believe it would be.
Did it have the one about, the kids that make fun of a bald man and God sends a bear to kill them?
Yes.
Wow, I don't think
God
so.
Did that. Mm. Remember
have
that.
You, this, speaking of, children's religious things, have either of you ever watched VeggieTales?
No, I missed that, thankfully.
It's so bad.
I watched a little bit.
Yeah. Why? Why did you watch it?
All right, because I dated a woman who was a Jew witch, and her friend was a born-again Christian, but a really nice one. And she sort of semi-ironically enjoyed VeggieTales. There was a wholesomeness to her enjoyment. So I watched them with her, and I'm just like, wow, this is just really bad.
I watched it with my cousins, my younger cousins at one point, because my dad's side of the family, my grandparents are still very religious of some form, and I think my aunt is, both of my aunts are a little bit. But yeah, so I watched VeggieTales with them, and it was really bad.
Yeah. That's a weird universal thing about, especially American Christian media, if it's coming from the perspective of, this is Christian. And it's
so
for you, it's all terrible. The storytelling is awful. The premises are awful. The acting.
I remember I was once watching, it was a CGI story of Jesus. And Jesus and all of his followers had these really high and tight hairstyles, which they would not remotely have had. Jesus was very well coiffed.
He was a Nazarene. He wasn't allowed to cut his hair at all.
Right. And the Romans had this long, they were the long-haired hippies, and I'm like,
what?
Do you even remotely understand what you're doing here?
Yes, have you never seen any image of Caesar ever?
Yeah. I think there's a Bible PlayStation game, too.
Oh, there's a lot of them. There are no official ones.
Yeah, for a little while, Bro Team Pill was doing reviews of, there's a series of these awful games. They're all made with the same engine, and they're all weirdly religious, and they're pretty good. I recommend them.
I once played a game that was a Doom clone. But you threw, I think, berries at sheep to knock them out instead of shooting demons.
Wow!
But just
to
make
demons
them go,
would be more positive for
no,
the
but
religious
you,
thing.
Yeah. You don't hurt anything. You just knock because you just throw blueberries at things, and then they pass out, and then you can.
Just
herd
like
your
the
sheep.
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Right. Beagles love blueberries. Everyone knows that. Yeah, and you just knock them out.
Cool.
And then I guess that made herding easier. It wasn't a good game.
Herding? Wow.
Well, I think you're a sheep herder.
Yeah, like...
I don't really know the biblical import.
I have a sheep herding game that involves aliens.
Cool.
Yeah. I didn't get very far in it. It's pretty hard.
Do you remember that Destroy All Humans for the PlayStation?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a good game. I didn't play it, but I watched it.
Well, anyways.
Okay. Back to the story.
Fast forward to when I was 13-ish.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, at this time, worked at registration at the hospital, and when you get registered, they ask you what your religion is in case you die and you need a priest, I guess.
Right.
And she had someone who said they were a witch, and she talked about this at dinner. I was like, that's an option?
Right.
So I had the internet and a computer in my room at that time, so I started Googling and researching, and then my parents got divorced.
Because... And you struck while the iron was
hot?
Well,
I was already interested before they got divorced. Like, I had brought it up a couple times, I think, and basically my dad was like, well, as long as you research it and you truly believe in it, it's okay. I was like, okay.
That's pretty open-minded of
him. Yeah, pretty, considering. Then they got divorced. And when we went to visit, his wife, now wife, was very not... And very anti-pagan, because apparently she was pagan once when she was little, and like high school, huge on taking drugs and things, and she killed a dog.
She killed a dog.
Wow.
For pagan witch things.
So there's a good chance that if she were born now, she'd be one of those girls that stabbed her friend for Slender Man.
Exactly. Maybe. Except she was older then. Like, she wasn't like little. Like, she was like high school.
So, old enough to know better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so she, like, blamed that or something. So, I was reading a pagany book once at their house at night, and my dad basically came in and saw me reading and was like, don't tell Ruthie. And that was it. That was the end of that conversation.
Yeah.
But, and they also did Grace when we were there.
Oh, man.
My sister has the feeling that they only did Grace when we were there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If there's one thing that I do not miss... Negative. It's like not having to deal with any of that bullshit. There is nothing worse than having to wait to eat your goddamn food while everybody else is praising God, who had nothing to do with growing or cooking or preparing.
Well, yeah, I do definitely agree with being thankful for your meals and things.
Right, but you know.
Yeah.
I dated a girl for a while whose parents were very Catholic. I might say Roman Catholic. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to always do grace. And once. They're like, they thought they were putting me on the spot. And they're like, Tom, can you say grace now? And I'm like, I've listened to you do it 100 times. Blessed, O Lord, and these thy gifts you're about to receive from the bounty of Christ our Lord. Amen. And they're like, we're so surprised you knew that. I'm like, you say it every time we eat food.
Wow. That's kind of ridiculous. At least it was short.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's either like, well, see, that was like when we'd periodically go out to, you know, after dinner, afterglow, I believe is what it's called, and
you're fucking with me. They call it afterglow.
Yes, yes. You go. That's you meet beautiful. after the church to go. Yeah. Oh, another weird thing for you to look up: Mike Warnke, Christian comedian, lied about. No, I know.
It's already funny.
Oh, it's even better. It's even better because he claimed to have been. It's a very big deal to have been evil and to convert. Like, it's the same thing with Republican senators. Like, it doesn't matter that they've cheated 20 times because they're repenting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he claimed that he was a drug dealer and a Satanist and a high priest in a Satan group and then got saved. And that was like his act was talking about that. And he had some jokes that are only funny if you've been raised in the limited spectrum of this. But it's hilarious now. And then, of course, you know, like a few years after, or like 20 years ago, whatever, it came out that none of it was real.
Shocking.
He was never a Satanist?
No. And the guy he almost killed didn't exist. And I don't think he ever served in the military. And because, you know, it was all part of his
shtick.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. So, like, our group definitely did. We'd go out to eat meals at restaurants later in the evening, and we always did the very, you know, we didn't get to do the rote, like this is grace, and then you get to eat. It was long and heartfelt, and Sometimes we would speak in speaking in tongues was a thing that we did.
That's a fun one. The memorization kind of freaks me out a little bit more than other things because, like, we were at a couple of funerals recently, and at least one or two, they did a prayer that I'd never heard before. I'm like, how does everyone in this room know this?
It's like they all got triggered and became, like, zombies.
Yeah, it's so, like, my religious right now is, like, paganism thing, which they always, like, kind of assume that you don't know what's going on. Yeah. Like, half of, if you're singing a song, it's half of it trying to figure out what the lyrics to the song is.
Yes.
Which is kind of entertaining, and I remember,
but I find it much less creepy.
Oh yeah, no, I remember I went to the fall solstice thing with you guys at the Ren Fair sort of deal. Like I almost was, or I was a dragon.
The dragon.
Oh, that was like that was Beltane.
Beltane. Yeah,
it
yeah,
was?
Yeah. And yeah, that was like they spent a lot of time explaining to people what to do, what not to do, that it was fine to just stand there if you didn't care about it. Like they basically just didn't want you to fuck with them.
Yeah.
That was entertaining. I enjoyed that.
Theatrical one.
Yeah, they're pretty theatrical.
Cool. Which I mean, you know, going back to the origins of all of our religious practices, like that was the point, is that they were theatric. It was it was, you know, mystery plays. They were instructional.
They were interesting. That's what I do like about religion, is the community aspects too.
Well, true. Although we
like,
we
I know
don't...
there are other ways for you to get it, but I think there's
At this point, I kind of think of it as like the religion part is the appendix. We understand that community involvement is. I mean, that's why we have theater without religion, and we have you know, communal things without the religious structure. It's just that, you know, the religion was attached to it for so long that it's you know, it's very hard to separate them. Yeah. So you started. Became
a pagan. I came out to my mom, said I was a witch.
What did your mom have to say about that?
I'm not entirely sure. I think she was kind of okay with it. She might have thought it was a phase.
Did she ban you from the closets because that's where the brooms are?
No. Yeah. She does make inappropriate jokes, apparently, occasionally about sacrificing babies.
They all do that.
I don't know. There was also this thing when I was in college that several people would joke about burning me at the stake.
Right.
Like, this happened multiple times. Like, why doesn't anyone understand that this is actually offensive?
I know. Well, that's exactly it, right? That's why, you know, white people don't get about not being able to use the N-word. It's that same sort of, like, no, that was a thing that actually happened.
Yeah.
But we're cool. I can call you a witch, right? Or is that your word?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'm fine with being called a witch, I guess. I'm an eclectic pagan, technically.
I once had a pagan guy yell at me because I talked about all my heathens here. He's like, that's an offensive word. We don't use that word. I'm like, people use the word heathen.
Yeah.
Right. Also, does he know that was the name of a people, and the only reason it's negative is because Christians decided to make it negative?
So I think he just wanted to yell about paganism. Something.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's, like, my least favorite thing about religion is when people yell at each other. Oh, I have a fun story about when I was first becoming pagan and Wiccan and everything.
Alright.
So my sister knew about this, and we went to camp. We went to a New York State environmentalist camp. So I should have known that. I'd probably be fine anyways. But me and my sister were in separate bunks, and some girl in the other bunk was teasing her really badly. Like, badly enough that my sister said, my sister's a witch. She'll put a curse on you if you're mean to me.
Nice.
And this, of course, got back to me. And everyone was, like, asking me questions about it. And luckily, they were okay with it. Like, they were really interested when I was like, you know, it's an earth-based religion, stuff like that. And it might have helped that I was at an environmental camp.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah. So my sister did that at least once. She might have done that before. I think she's added me a couple times that way.
Nice.
Not that I care that much, but it's like, really?
Well, right, depending on where you are.
Yeah, like, I had, you know, friends that's not the sort of thing you talk about in front of them.
Well, there's also kind of this, you know, again, in a majority Christian environment, like, there's always an undercurrent of interest in the occult, because it is the like, oh, that's the other people, and also because it's not, you know, there's always kind of, even though it's assume to also be Satan. Like, there's enough of a difference between Satan stuff and occult stuff that it's almost always the case. Like, you're probably, if you get tired of Christianity, you're probably going to start looking at Satanism, and then you're probably going to start looking at occultism, and then you're going to become a Buddhist for a little while, and then, you know.
Yeah, like, I never had the, like, I wasn't ever rebelling anything about going to paganism. Yeah. It's just what I found and what made sense to what I was making up as a kid.
Well, and that's also the big difference between people like me who are, yeah, like, seriously anti-theist in addition to being an atheist, because we were true believers. We were lied to yeah, our whole lives. And it makes you mad. And then you didn't have anything pushed on you necessarily. So you're just like, I don't get it, guys. It's fine.
Like, I do understand, like, things being pushed on you to some extent. But I don't know.
You don't understand. I literally believed that there was a man in my head who watched me do everything and judged me constantly. And, you know, would send my friends to hell if they didn't accept him.
That's sad.
Damn right it's sad.
But, like, yeah. I definitely disagree with that. Like, that is wrong. But I also think there's something to be said about at least being open to the idea of religion for kids.
Well, here's the thing, though. Children are designed, and when I say designed, I mean by millions of years of selective pressure, to believe whatever you tell them, which is the main problem I have with it. Because, like I said, I still, even though I know better, like, even just the thing of, like when you believe in Jesus as a thing, whenever you're in distress, your first impulse is to call out to him, or you know, like you just have this sense of needing to plead to this other power, this external thing. You have no idea how long it took to get rid of that. Like, I can't even tell when it happened, but I had to consciously stop myself from having those thoughts of like Jesus, please no. Like, it's a thing. It just, you know, you're stuck with it for your whole life if you're infected with these memes.
That's
exactly what they are, which I think is, like, why I'm kind of pretty heavily against that. Then there's also the argument of, like, if you're conditioned to believe one untrue thing or one thing without any evidence, you're very likely to believe anything without
evidence.
I
mean, like, what I'm talking about is more like having some religious education.
Well, education,
you see what
yes.
I mean? That's
yes.
what I mean.
Like, religion is, regardless
like,
of what you
think
of it.
Like, I feel super left out sometimes that I'm like, what are these things? Like, when we were talking about shriving.
Yes.
I was like, I think you've made this up.
It sounds made up.
I know, right? Apparently on Tuesday you're supposed to eat
Shrove
pancakes.
Shrove Tuesday.
Shrove Tuesday is a thing and you eat pancakes.
And we found out why. You eat the pancakes because you have to get rid of this sweet. And
your eggs and flour.
Yeah, because it is rich food, and you are going through Lent, you are giving something up, you're giving up tasty things, and so you
but
don't
I
have
But I was
those.
Pretty sure Tom made this up.
Why would I make that up?
I don't know.
Well, but I'm okay with that sort of thing existing, like, you know, I want that to only exist in a Wikipedia article, so that if you're curious about, you know, the cultural impact of this, you can go back and be like, oh, people did that, all right, that's interesting.
I'm fine with anything that gives me pancakes.
Right. Which, luckily, like, you know, I think the trend is the religion is definitely going to go away, because it's just going to be slowly subsumed by, you know, what we like to do. The only thing that really keeps it alive is, like, the tribal, you know, adversarial aspect, where, you know, which is another, like, inherent thing. If you absolutely believe that you have the secrets of the universe and, you know, you have the one right way to do it, you by definition have to hate everybody else who doesn't believe the way you do.
How stupid they must be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or even just, like, if they happen to, like, if they exist and they disprove your, you know, thing, then they're an existential threat to everything you believe in, which is why it's really easy to shoot them or blow them up or, you know,
whatever you have to do.
Right. Pass laws restricting their ability to exist.
True.
Or you don't even have to pass laws necessarily. You can just make them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, but they do pass laws.
Yeah, I know. They do that too. Or they make you apologize for doing the Pledge of Allegiance in Arabic.
What? Seriously?
Pinebush High School.
Pinebush High School did the Pledge of Allegiance in Arabic for Foreign Language Week.
And that was an issue?
And that was an issue. People were upset about it because of, like, they're, you know...
My relatives died in Afghanistan. How dare you have them speaking Parish language?
Moon speak, not in my country.
Yeah. So, and the school, you know, apologized.
Why?
And at least one person is like, no, you should not be apologizing.
Right.
And they're like, the Pledge of Allegiance will only be in English now.
Well, I'm pissed off enough that that exists, period.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That sucks.
That was one thing, like, it's really weird, but I did get to abuse my religious status a lot in high school, like... If I didn't want to do something, I could just kind of be like, oh, but I that's not part of my religion. I don't have to sing that Halloween song that's shitty and stupid because I don't want to sing it because it's shitty and stupid. But I mean, because God wouldn't want me to.
Yeah.
Or oh, I can't say the Pledge of Allegiance because I can't pledge allegiance to the country even though it says God in there.
Wow.
Mm.
So I'm guilty of that a lot.
I just didn't do it because by the time I had a school that did it regularly, I was like, because Poughkeepsie Day School, we did when we were younger. I don't think they did when we got older.
I feel like that might be something that's come back recently.
When I was in high school, they had us do it.
Hmm.
I didn't. I didn't do it. Normally, we just sat there.
It's like a junior. Well, actually, yeah, I don't even think of junior high. Like after elementary school, I think that stopped being a thing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, like. I had to do it in high school, and I automatically didn't say the God part, definitely, because I was pagan.
Pagans have gods.
Nice.
Yeah, but not
that God.
Yeah. Your sky Jesus isn't the right sky Jesus.
No.
Or sky daddy. Sorry. I got my derogatory terms mixed up.
So, Tom, I think it's your turn.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So what do you want to know about here? Just random religious things.
What was your religious upbringing like?
Okay. Yes. So my father was and is Episcopalian. I once asked him, like, I did a little bit of research. I'm like, oh, so it's an offshoot of the Anglican Church. How does Episcopalianism actually differ from the Anglican Church? And he had no idea. And it honestly boils down to he's doing it on American soil, and that makes it Episcopalian. That really is the difference between... And the whole Protestant thing is just like Henry VIII wants to marry.
Again. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Without having to chop heads off. Because it's so inconvenient.
Well, I think he still wanted to chop the heads off.
He did. He did actually want to do that still. He's a jerk. So my father was Episcopalian. My mother was like, I'm going to say a fervent atheist when I was growing up. She tells a story that apparently once she tried to bring me across the threshold of a church when I was a very small child, and I began wailing. And they decided that little Tommy probably wasn't supposed to go into churches.
Smart baby.
I guess so. I'm sure it was just like, oh, this is a big, unfamiliar building.
Right.
Make it stop. I always sort of was very shy and anxious, so I'm sure that I was not comfortable with that.
Yeah. Oh, but you missed out on getting dunked in water.
I
was baptized. I'm pretty sure I was baptized, yes.
I'm pretty sure I was never baptized.
Okay, well, that's why you're going straight to hell.
Yeah, I
have a Henry VIII story.
Come here.
I think it's Henry, at least I'm pretty sure it's Henry, but he sent an artist out to paint pictures of all these women as potential wives, and the artist intentionally painted, like, made the girls look prettier or less pretty based on, like, their situation. So, like, if it was a girl who was in a fairly good situation right now, you know, she wasn't as pretty, but, like, if it was someone who would definitely be better off being Henry the wife's, like, you know,
facing constant
done prettier. And I think he ended up marrying one of the ones who were done prettier and wasn't happy with what he actually ended up getting. I don't think I'm not sure if he chopped off her head, but you know.
And so that's why we have Tinder now, right? When you're talking about swiping left and swiping right, it's the neck.
Yeah, well, aww. You have to, after a while, you have to do two passes when the blade's not as sharp.
It's true.
Mm.
Okay. All
right.
My mother was a fervent atheist. My mother once told me that I shouldn't worship God, but I was forbidden to worship Satan. And I'm like, that's not really an option. I don't really, if there's no God, there's no Satan.
Right. Oh, heresy.
I know.
Amber, heresy.
That's heresy?
Yes.
I thought...
No, you have to believe in Satan.
I thought...
in addition to God.
Yeah,
see,
like, they go
Satan
together.
Always bothered me because they treated him like an evil version of God, whereas if your God is all-powerful, just go snap your fingers and there's no more Satan. Mm-hmm. So either, so God must have liked him. And that is what actually made me be like, all right, let me look into this. Let me do a little bit of research here. Where did Satan come from? Oh, he's one of God's angels. He's the best and most beautiful. Well, then. He's just doing what God wants him to do, isn't he?
Yeah,
well, that's curious.
God just felt like destroying something beautiful.
Yes.
Aww.
And then gambles with him in Job.
Yes. Oh, God.
Satan's like, you know what? I bet I can get the guy to curse your name.
That was another one. That was
yeah.
Got me too.
Like, God should know. Isn't he supposed to be all-knowing and be like, Satan, listen, seriously, dude. I know what's going to happen here. I'm God. Instead, he's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah,
double or nothing. Let's see what happens.
Right. Let's ruin this man's life.
For the lulz.
For the just for the lulz. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't even accomplish anything.
Wow.
I decided when I was about 11. Well, I found a copy of a book called The Modern Witch's Spellbook, which is a terrible book that you should not read. But it's basically like you have to kiss the haunches of the devil, blah, blah, blah. But there were spells, and spells were cool. So, I liked that. And then I saw some terrible kiddie news shows. Mm. And there was a girl and her parents, and they were Wiccan. And they lit candles. And the whole tenor of the episode is like, look at these quaint, stupid people acting like this is a religion. Aren't they adorable? They're adorable. We'll be back next October and talk to them again. But I decided I was pagan. Well, witch and then pagan. Fortunately, there ended up being a witchy shop in my town a short walk away from my high school.
Oh,
it was
nice.
Called The Call of the Wild. Now it is the Dreaming Goddess in Poughkeepsie. At the time, it was Call of the Wild in Beacon. And that was really helpful because there was a witch, an older witch that I could talk to. She started having teen programs because of me. So I felt pretty special. She made me my first wand, which is broken over there somewhere.
You corrupted the youth.
I did corrupt the youth.
I feel like I should have known about this at some point because I was a pagan also in the Hudson Valley, but no.
Yeah.
Well, but look,
I was all over the internet, but I was nowhere in person.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
here's
the goddess clearly brought you two together.
Okay, but I ran the Mid-Hudson Pagan Network for years, and you never showed up there.
Well, I don't know where I would have found it.
On the internet, you would have.
You think I would have.
But you didn't.
No. I was still stuck on UI Hooligans.
It was a Yahoo group.
I know, right? Mm.
You're a bad person, Amber.
I'm not a bad person.
No, that would have been completely inappropriate. You would have been like 12.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I wasn't pagan until I was 13 or so.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, yeah, that was basically it. But I think I was pretty low-key with the whole paganism thing. Like, it was sort of, I liked spells. I liked other pagan people. The community aspect.
I didn't have any pagan community other than maybe vaguely online until after college.
Hmm. I do have a good youth group story. Mm. I was not in a youth group, but there was a youth group that my younger brother got involved with, and they were a cult. I don't say this lightly. Like, the youth group leader would pull the kids out of school, and they would go and get hamburgers together and hang out. So he's basically taking underage girls to go eat, like, get food for him, again, pulling them out of school, or just like he'd drive by in his car, just like pull them in.
Wow,
that's creepy.
Yeah. And they had prayer sessions for me because I was a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was friendly with the people.
Oh, you mean a Christian youth group?
Oh yeah, Christian.
Makes,
oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Christian youth
sense
group.
Now
I
was like,
not
wait,
a...
really? Because I was just about to say like paganism doesn't really have much.
No, this was a Christian youth group. Yeah. It was at a. Run out of a church in Fishkill. And, he was just really creepy. He would have my brother spy on me and report to him.
Oh, that also explains a lot.
Yeah, that happened a couple times, that people had Brian spy on me for them and
that's
report.
Weird.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, and there was actually one point where my, again, atheist mother and myself, my younger brother Brian, was pulled into this youth group without our permission. At night, he came. I don't think he climbed out of a window, but he escaped the house went with this man without permission. He was maybe 13 or 14.
Wow.
And we drove there. We pulled him out. I think we were calling the police.
Yeah.
Because he was basically kidnapped. All right. So he had the youth group pray for me at one point. And one of the, they went on a ski trip together, and they prayed for me on the bus, I think. And this girl told me this, in a very, like, just so you know, we prayed for you, not in, like, a mean way. And I fell to my knees in the hallway and said, oh my god, I'm saved! Because I was theatrical. She meant well, but I'm just like, don't bother praying for me, I've decided, I'm good.
Wow.
Don't even worry.
So... how did Brian get involved in this?
Because he wanted a community, because he had friends that were involved.
Okay, so...
yeah, he didn't... I don't think he believed in it, but I think he was dating one of the girls on the youth group.
I was like, did they steal him or something?
That's one of the easiest ways they draw people in, is that, like, the basic premise of Christianity is if you believe like we do, we'll accept you. And it's, you know, it's pretty hard for people to avoid that if they're in a bad place. But yeah, definitely the like the aggressive praying thing.
So
that's a
weird
thing.
Yeah.
That's a thing. It's like antagonistic. Like, oh honey, we're gonna pray for you this evening because we're worried about you, and you're making bad choices in your life. So we're just gonna talk to Jesus about it.
Yeah. If I don't have all the facts here, so please don't sue me. But I'm pretty sure that the youth group leader got like kicked out of the church because he was getting very familiar with the young parishioners.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he at least was having sex with one of the girls in the youth group.
Wow.
Which isn't really surprising, given like, yeah, I'm going to take you out of school. We're going to hang out together for a few hours.
It'd be weirder if that wasn't.
That's so weird that was like, even like allowed to happen.
Well, because if, Jesus.
Right. If you do it for Jesus. Like,
but like, did the person's parents agree?
Not
like that's so weird.
But you trust him. He was a youth pastor.
Right. Well, I mean, why do you think there's such a problem with like the Catholic priests? Like a lot of times I remember, oh shoot, what was it? Like one victim was talking about how, you know, as a child, the pastor would be molesting him while he was sitting on the preacher's lap at the family table, like the preacher's hand would be in his pants. Like, you know, you if it's a man of God, how can he do wrong?
But my father was involved with his church, a different church down the street. Like all my life, he goes every Sunday. He actually runs a youth group. He's not a creepy kitty diddler. He's actually really sweet and caring. He's like followed them through years. Actually, at one point, I dated a Wiccan woman, a Gardnerian Wiccan, which is like the fundamentalist version of Wicca, which, again, is a religion
it's
that was made up
boring.
by Gerald Gardner like 60 years ago, but they're fundamentalist about it, so we're clear.
Like, you have specific rituals that you have to follow, right?
Yeah. And you
it's like script. It's kind of like that one ritual we went to, the May Day one at the... winery, so that would be like that sort of feeling.
But a little more than that, yeah.
Yeah, that was so boring.
Yeah, they're pretty boring. I went to a lot of gardenerian rituals with them that I did not really enjoy because my
flavor...
They
like you dressing up in cloaks, too.
They do, or naked. They want you naked sometimes.
Yeah.
But anyway, at one point, Emily, the woman I dated, was asked to go into the youth group and explain Wicca to these children, and they were all fascinated, but I felt very awkward because I was like pushed up as the one of the exemplars of paganism. I'm like, listen kids, I should not represent anything ever. This woman can talk to you about Wicca. I don't necessarily agree with the word she's saying.
Like that's one definitely thing with paganism, is that there are so many, at least a few things I've read, there are just as many ways to be pagan as there are pagans.
Well, that's because paganism was like, it was another one of those things of like you know, barbarians. We got the word because to the Romans, everybody who didn't speak English or didn't speak Latin, I guess, sounded like they were just saying bar, 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 bar.
Bar, bar, bar.
Yeah, so pagans, like, there's no such thing. There's never been such a thing. It's just that, you know.
But now it's like a umbrella term.
Yeah.
It is.
And it does happen to be that, like, you know, the majority of the religions that are the religious structures we call pagan have universal sort of concepts because they're all derived from nature. And of course, if your source material is the same, then, you know, you're going
to
have a moon goddess. You're going to have a sun goddess. You might have
a lot of pagans don't agree with that either.
Right. Right. And that's fine. Generally though, like I don't think I've ever heard of, you know,
do Gardnerians have any specific deities, or is it just mostly like the triple goddess?
Like the god and the goddess. Mostly the goddess. Because paganism is very, it's a lot of a reaction against, like, the patriarchal nature of the church. Yeah. And, you know, because, you know, the priests are in power and the men are in power in the church. Be like, screw men. Well, don't screw men. Screw other women. Diana Quicka.
Well, you can screw, like, a man.
You can screw a man. But men are really underemphasized to sort of balance the scales.
So, I referenced Barbara Walker earlier. Incidentally, read nothing else that she's written. The Women's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets. Oh, that's the name of it. The Women's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets is a really entertaining look at history, potentially from a female perspective, although a lot of it's apocryphal. But that's one thing. Everything else she's written is, like, you know, straight up men, all men need to die, like, craziness. Because I read a Thoreau book she did once, and it was like, oh, the female elephants in the herd drive out the male. And, like, what? No.
Wow. Well, like,
it's fine. Yes, men have been awful historically.
I understand it, like, in some cases, having it be slightly separate gender-wise, just because sometimes girls don't feel as comfortable when there are guys around. But you know, still. But
I talk about this.
That's a problem with the patriarchy. That's not...
Yeah.
I talk about this in my book, Pagan Standard Times, available on Amazon, or you can request it at most bookstores. Pagan Standard Times by Tom Quackenbush.
Who happens to be the gentleman who was just talking.
So, again, I used to run this pagan network. It started as a Yahoo group, and then they insisted that we have meetings.
Hmm.
Usually at the back room of a Denny's, make of that what you will. And my mother would refer to it as pagans without partners. But my issue was, I'm like, why wouldn't you just call them craft singles?
What?
I know that would have been so much so better.
The copyright... Yeah. Tom Quackenbush, 27.
Just made so much, But yeah, we would just sit in the back room of Denny's and mostly eat pancakes and talk. Pancakes? All religion goes back to pancakes for me.
Whatever. Over me being a goddess at one point.
Oh yes, Amber was a goddess. Please tell your story.
I was worshipped at one point. So, one day, I was in a play, and I don't know, I was like working... like a gopher sort of thing. And I was carrying some boxes. And some guys were incredibly bored. And decided to start being like, oh, you're so amazing to be able to carry those boxes around. You're so strong. And just started worshipping me. And then it snowed. And school was off the next day. So when we came back, they decided I was a snow goddess, and it snowed because they worshipped me.
Clearly.
And they created this whole mythology over it. Like, there's a language called... that the only word I remember is wasapata, which means let it snow. But yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Well, your life must be really hard being randomly worshipped by
I know,
men.
Right? It was so weird.
Yeah.
I pretty much let them do what they wanted, and... ignored them.
Yeah, it's
like a good god.
Right.
Yep. Although to this day, my mom and other people blame me whenever it snows.
That's because you told them you were a snow goddess. Right. That's power.
You should be more careful about that.
Yep.
I did have another thing. All right. In sixth grade, there was this girl named Nicole. I won't give her last name because I couldn't spell it if I tried. Very Polish. Z's where there should not be Z's. Anyway, so I had a crush on her, and she told me that she only was interested in boys with short hair. So I got my hair cut short, and she said, yeah, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I can't ever date you. And I'm like, before I cut my hair, might have been the important time to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, we got along. We were friendly. But she wasn't just Jehovah's Witness. She was definitely like a creepy subdivision of it.
Jehovah's Witness is pretty creepy.
I don't know. She was in public school, so I feel like if you're that wacky, they probably want to take you out of public school.
Mm-hmm.
I know in 10th grade, she was in my English class, and she was standing under mistletoe. So I gave her a kiss on the cheek. And I did not realize she flipped out, and I had to tell her that I had just touched her with my two fingers and made a kissing sound, because otherwise she was, like, despoiled, and I'm like,
Yeah, you might have ruined her chances of having her own sex planet where she could be, like an endless birthing chamber for...
Are Jehovah's Witnesses bees?
We ask the tough questions here at Q's and Abad.
Jehovah's Witnesses, bees? You decide.
But yeah.
That's all I got out of that.
Yeah.
Whole thing planet.
That's kind of, yeah, that's sad on a couple of levels.
Yeah.
So. Like just thinking that somebody would have to have that sort of fear for nothing hanging over them their entire life.
Yeah, I think she once had me, like, probably after that, had me read an article about people who saved kissing for marriage.
Wow.
That they dated throughout college, but they didn't even hold hands.
And that's how so you have a horrible relationship, because you don't even know if you're compatible sexually.
I find that sad, because I've always sat on people's laps and held their hands and given hugs.
How many people have you ruined?
Little. I know, right? I think I was the one who was ruined.
How are you ruined?
I don't know, because I walked into a room and was like, but there aren't any seats. And everyone's like, sit on my lap. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm just going to go leave.
To be fair, that was an anime club.
Right. True. Yeah.
They're not socially adroit.
Okay, see, and that's good, because it means you were at least discriminating.
Well, I was somewhat promiscuous, but not sexually when I was younger. But I never really got the whole, like, you know, oh, God, you've touched a vagina. Jesus no longer loves you.
Yeah, it's weird how much God hates things he created and designed to be the way that they are. And
right.
He's like, no! Whatever you do, don't do exactly what I designed that to do.
Yeah.
Listen,
it
Jesus.
It makes me angry.
I found the clitoris. I'm going to play with it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't find you, Jesus, but I found the clitoris.
Aww.
So if we weren't hellbound before this podcast, we are now.
Yeah, well, you might be.
Hell.
I'm fine. I don't
true.
Have a choice.
He's saved forever.
Right. After.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So first, which is a weird thing, because like we went over Revelations a lot, and like Revelations is where it talks about the whole 144,000 thing, which is, I believe, Church of Latter-day Saints has that restriction where like
they do.
They believe only that 144,000 gets to go
in all of history.
In period.
Do they have
period.
A list?
No, but it's assumed to be whoever's in charge at the moment. yeah, like, I think the hope is that some people might, you know, commit sins and be knocked off the list or out of contention.
But that's the thing, like, it's predetermined. Like, you can't
right.
get knocked off the list. You're
right.
basically, you are saved, and if you're not saved, you better pretend you're saved
yeah.
so everyone thinks you're saved, too.
Well, here's
what
the weird
could,
thing.
What good does that do me? I might as
know.
Well sin.
Yeah, well, and the weird thing, too, is that, like, in Revelations specifically, it's only those descended from the 12 tribes of Israel. So Latter-day Saints, one of their beliefs, I believe, is that Jesus visited, say, Latin America and has spread his seed elsewhere. So there, you know, it gives you a tiny chance of also being included. But yeah, the 144,000 only male descendants of the 12 tribes.
Oh, so I'm already fucked.
Not even ladies. That's right. But everybody else, like you get a chance if you. If you survive the, you know, Satan coming to power and creating hell on earth, essentially, like if you can resist all of that to the end and like die suffering during, you know, during the end of the world, essentially, then if you get through all that without accepting the mark and you know, agreeing with Satan, then you can go to heaven.
Oh, that's
but
nice.
But you're still like,
I think
you won't
accept the mark, Daniel, at least in Binding of Isaac, like 20,000 times.
Well, because it's inarguably a good choice. Like, you trade one red heart, you get the mark, instant damage up. It's good shit. Oh, I had another dream. It's very vivid about like the oceans turn to blood, and like I would have very vivid dreams about that sort of thing, of like, you know, the entire planet dying and like all life in the sea drifting down and this choking ocean of blood, because you know whales can't breathe blood or air. But yeah like it goes into a lot of detail about that, like obsessive detail and how awful everything is before the sun swallows the earth.
Revelations is just like biblical fan fiction, isn't it?
Pretty much.
It's just like, yo, I had a dream and this is what happened.
Pretty much
yeah.
But it's also like where like the majority of you know, especially American conservative fundamentalists, like a lot of their crazy beliefs come from that, because it's it's the idea of, like, Jesus said he'd come back, so that circumvents anything else you have to worry about. The environment? Who cares? Jesus is going to come back. You're not going to be here. The earth is going to be destroyed anyways.
And then you'll have seven-headed dragons.
Yes.
I want a seven-headed dragon.
But no, see, the seven-headed dragon is like a reference to the countries that are in power.
It all has to be literal, it all has to be figurative. You can't have it both ways. Either there's really dragons or it's all
but,
BS.
But my pastor said, we spent like 6 nights on it about drawing them out and which horns mean what and what the feet of clay and the because there's a giant at some point that has feet of clay and legs of brass and I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, I'm a bad atheist because I don't know my Bible very well. Yeah, with the born again Christian thing, like the entire premise of it is that it circumvents having to live through through the tribulation, which
unless
is,
you have a vagina. At which point,
well,
that's what you do.
Oh, no. You can, you know, like, we'll as long as you obey your husband and are a good wife, like,
so
you're
she
fine.
Just doesn't count as one of the 144.
Oh, well, no. See, like if you accept Jesus into your heart, you're circumventing the 144,000 mm-hmm. thing. Like,
oh.
they're just the ones who, because the rapture, remember, the rapture takes away everybody who is born again.
Isn't the rapture not remotely in the Bible? Wasn't it?
You
made?
Shut your whore mouth.
I'm pretty sure the rapture is not in the Bible. I think that was made up.
No. Well, exactly.
I don't
exactly.
know.
It happened
in a book I read. Someone got raptured.
Right. It's in the back somewhere. No.
Yeah.
Left Behind.
Yeah.
What
no.
Book
but
was that?
But that's like the entire
Many
premise.
Waters?
Yeah.
Madeline L'Engle's all about Jesus.
Yeah. It was one of those. Except
yeah.
I loved the first one.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Actually.
Sorry.
But the Wrinkle in time.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, oh, okay.
In one of them, it goes back in time to the Ark, and since one of the characters is a girl and therefore can't be saved on the Ark,
mm-hmm.
She gets raptured.
Well, it's called translation everywhere else. Mm-hmm. When you get transported to heaven directly.
Ah, well, in the fiction book I read, it was called rapture.
Well, in the Bible. Yeah, but no, that's like the entire premise of the born again. Like Jesus thing is that it circumvents that whole thing because you get the rapture, so you don't have to. If you've already accepted Jesus into your heart, when the rapture comes, you just go. You don't have to live through the tribulation. You don't have to worry about not being one of the 144,000. It's so easy. You just do it, and then you know you can always repent, and it's fine.
Now, is the devil's son actually Barack Obama?
I guarantee you, if Bill were still alive, he would be going on about, you know, because that was actually one of the first things I thought when Barack was running, because I know, you know, having that whole mythology in my head, he's articulate,
mm-hmm.
he's a black man, and, you know...
Mark of Cain.
Yes, yes.
Why does he have
the
Mark of Cain?
Scary.
Black people have the Mark of Cain, don't you know your religion?
Just by being black?
Yes!
Okay.
Yeah, where do you think they came from?
That's why Mormons didn't like black people
All
for the longest
time.
All
I know
time.
Is that they checked
now.
On witches if they have, like, moles or something, you're a witch.
Yeah, well,
it's true.
You know,
then they would throw you in
well,
the water
see, that,
the
that's,
water
no,
refused
when,
you.
If they accidentally found your clitoris, that's what they,
I'm pretty
you know.
Sure, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the witch's mark. Let's press it a couple more times.
Yes.
It's Satan's doorbell, you know. Any more religious things we got to talk about?
Religion's bad, y'all. And if gods existed, they're horrible creatures, and you
should
hate them.
What kind of pagan are you, Tom?
Anyways.
I'm a Discordian pagan, because I think it's all for the lulz anyway.
Yeah, Amber?
I'm an eclectic pagan.
She claims that eclectic was the first word she ever said.
It's true.
It's a pretty good word, especially
yeah,
if you,
like
you know, actually look up the meaning and not the Zoe Deschanel
yeah.
nonsense.
What?
I'm a secular esoteric.
He's a secular esoteric.
Or secular occultist. That's the better one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sounds better. Secular with an AE, bitches.
Yeah.
Wait.
Look it up.
I don't know how to spell secular in any form.
The next episode will be about Amber's dyslexia.
Yes.
Yep.
It's a serious issue.
Are we done?
I don't know. I guess so.
All right.
Yes.
I'm gonna play
may God be
tentacles.
With you and may God be with you all.
May Azathoth turn his ravenous gaze from the path of your fortunes.
Hail, Aerith!